I'm so happy to stand before you again. Thank you for coming in the house of the Lord. Because some people, they don't mind about God. But if you can get a time when you come into the house of the Lord, it's very important. Then God bless you very much. And I'm going to request you one thing, that each and every word which is each and every word which you are going to hear, try to see that you open up your heart, take it, leave it, let it be part of your life. Is that clear? Make sure that let it be part of your life than coming and you sit and you miss what God has been sharing with you. Before I go into what God has put on my heart, I want to say a few words. I want to thank God for Apostle Harvey and Pastor Shu for organizing this meeting so that I can come and speak to you. And the second thing, for their heart of allowing me to be part of their family.
Amen.
That's good. And I'm so proud of that, and I'm so happy of that. And also, I want to thank you, all of you, as the church, for your support. I know that you have been praying for me. You have been giving time to see that you send your prayers, and not only prayers, but even your finance to support me. God bless you very much. And those who have been giving, supporting the pastor's pocket. Remember when I came here, I talked about the pastor's pocket where I put money to pay the school fees for the kids. I want to thank everybody who has been keeping that promise and has been doing it to see that he sent the money to pay the school fees for the kids. God bless you very much. I have few things which I want to show you here on my computer, but I don't know. Later, he's still working on them. I want just to show you some pictures on my computer to see what we have been doing through your support which you have been giving me monthly. Because of that support, I have been able at least to do a certain things and to visit some nations to make up a conference, delivering people, bringing revival into their lives through your support. Therefore, I appreciate that, and I know that God has to bless you for that heart. Because anything which you sow into the kingdom of God, one day you reap it. In our church, I tell people that what you eat, if you decide to eat your money, you are losing it. Yeah, because after buying food and you eat, in the morning, you take that food in the resting room. It's gone. The resting room will never appreciate you. It will never. That means when you just decide to eat your money all the time, just you are losing it for good. But anything which you put into the kingdom of God, once you put your money into the kingdom of God and somebody is delivered, is because of your support, that's why that somebody is delivered. Then God is going to put that seed on your account. When you send a money, you support somebody, and someone comes to Christ through your support, then you have done a great work. Your reward is there. When you support a kid and go to school and you feed that kid, the reward is there. But any money which you just put on your body in your life, it's gone. You'll never see it again. Therefore, it's very important. Have you understood? Now, it's very important to sow a seed. That's why today I want to stand before you to appreciate. Can you turn it? To appreciate for what you have been doing, the support you have been giving me. God bless you very, very much. I don't know if you'll be able to stand there. If you'll be able to see them clearly. I won't start from the top.
This is the top.
I'll start from the back, behind, down.
This is the first one.
Now here, I got a chance because of your support. We had a deliverance service in Kenya. Here we were in Kenya, and I took some of the ministers when we organized that conference. Then we went and shared the word of God and started praying for people to make deliverance. That's why you are seeing some of them. They are down there. Here, that's the same place. Because of your support, before you started that, I couldn't organize such a thing. And I found that people, they are in the need of teaching them the truth in Kenya, or even in Uganda, teaching them the truth. Because the Bible said that when you know the truth will set you free. Now, some people, they are in bondage, not because they are supposed to be in bondage, it's because they don't know the truth. And the Bible said that if my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, now out of teaching somebody, he gets knowledge, then he's out of the bondage. Now, that's what where we were, in Kenya. Now, this is our church where we fellowship. This is the church, and this is a part of it. We had also a life-changing conference. We share the word, we teach them the word. With the words. Because I'm seeing this on here. With the words. Wait a minute. Leave around that. Go on. There. Now this is our building of the church. It's that way because the land does not belong to us. Therefore, we cannot put up a permanent building to have the real church. That's the church. That's the second part of the church. I told you the first one, that's the one which you saw. Now this is the second part of the church. Now it's in that way because besides we don't have anything there because we cannot be allowed to put up a church on somebody's land. Here we were in one part of Uganda. It's 400 miles from Kampala. We had organized there also a revival conference. Then I went also to teach there. That's when you are going to board of Rwanda and Kenya, Rwanda and Uganda. Now we had that meeting there, and the coming year we want to go back there because we found that this is a place whereby that people, you know, people they're in the church, God has saved them, but they are lacking the truth and they are lacking deliverance. Now that's when we went there. We had, through your support, we had that conference, and it was good. People, they were delivered. And really, they love God. They love God. This also is a conference. But all those things are done through your support. That's a part of the church. Now, this also, I was closing up a seven conference through all your support. Wait a minute. Can we go back to those scriptures? Another picture here. Go back. Another book of scripture. No. Go back. Now, in March this year, we organized the crusade for 2 weeks. It's dark. I don't know. Can you hold it? I don't know if you can see it well. But this was a crusade which we went in.
Put your finger on it.
Sorry. Now this is this is a crusade. We went outside in an open area, then we did a crusade for 2 weeks, and we got 150 people who came to Christ. Now in the church we have classes. When you join up the church, we have classes which we call Raising Kings for the Kingdom. Now, if you come and join the church, you have to pass through those classes. Now, all those people, when they gave their life to Christ, we took them into those classes to teach them what is salvation, why somebody must be born again, why Jesus came on earth. Then after that, we share with them the vision of the ministry. From there, we teach them about the baptism. Then after teaching them baptism, we go and we baptize them. Now, after the crusade, I left those who were concerned about that. They were doing it, teaching people. Then they emailed me that at least they baptized 20 people. Amen. Now, recently, they told me now they baptized another group of 10 people. Now, those are 30 people out of 150 who came to Christ. But we did it through your support. That's why we managed to have that crusade. People, they came to Christ. Then on the last day, I went. I talked with some of the leaders of our government hospital. Then we bought the medicine. Then we brought those doctors, and they come and worked on people, treating them, giving them counsel. All of them who are not born again, Muslims, they came and they worked on 200 people. Now we are planning to see that we can, because it was one day, we are planning to see that if we can set it up so that we can make at least 3 days. Because people, they came and they, because of the medicine, that's what we had, we couldn't have another day because we didn't have more money to buy medicine. Now we want at least if we get money to see that we can make it for 3 days. We bring those doctors and we set up somewhere tents. Then we start treating people for 3 days. Because sometimes some of them, they cannot afford to go in hospital to pay bills and everything. Now you find them, some of them, they are dying, not because they are supposed to die, because they don't have treatment. But we did that, it was so good, it touched the people through your support. Now, you see the children, not all of them that we are supporting, we are supporting them, we are paying their school fees. But some of them, we support, we pay their school fees. And you have been assisting us to see that we take them to the school. Therefore, we want just also to thank you very much for your support, to support us to see that we can fulfill the vision which God has given us. To see that really we obey God to touch the lives of people. Therefore, because of your support, you have touched the life of children. Because of your support, you have brought 150 people to Christ. We are seeing that God is delivering people because of your support. Therefore, I appreciate you. Because I wouldn't do that without your support. God bless you very much. And I thank you very much. And I know that our faithful God, He will reward you. And that was the crusade, part of the crusade, which we heard. That's one of the choir in our church. I think that's that. God bless you, Brother Bernard. Just I wanted to appreciate you and to let you know what we are doing or what we are used, what I'm using your money. This year it has been so great to me because at least I feel that what's on my heart, I have done it, I have tried to put into action because of your support. Therefore, thank you very much. Thank you very much and God bless you. Keep it on. Thank you for your support. Yes, I need more support so that I can fulfill the vision. Yesterday, that's when I got the email. I don't know, should I talk about it? Good. Yesterday, I got the email from Uganda, because where the church is, it's not our land. It's not our land where we put up the church. It's a land of someone. Last year, when I was here, we talked about it. And this church, it assisted us with giving us $4,000, $4,200, $250 for the land. Then also we raised up some money even in Uganda. Now we have $8,000 plus the one which you gave us. But we need $20,000 in order to pay the land. After raising that $8,000. I went and talked with the man, the owner of the land, that if he can allow us to pay a half of the money, then we put up a church, then we start paying him as we are using the land. The man, he had agreed. But afterwards, he got maybe some people who advise him that if you allow them to build up the church, and if they fail to break the balance, can you take the church into the court? If it was a person, if it was the pastor buying the land, and that land is going to be in his name, if he fails, you can take him to the court. But how are you going to take the church into the court? Now the man called me and told me that, Pastor, I have changed my mind because once you put up the church here, I cannot take the church into the court. If you are the one buying the land, then it's okay, because I can take you in the court if you fail to pay me. But the church, I cannot do that. Then he told me that now you have what you have to do, raise all the money. Then after that, bring it and I'll give you the land and to put up the church. That's when we failed to go and start using that land. Now, yesterday, I got an email. When the landlord where we have a church right now, he told us to leave. He wanted us to leave the church, to take out the church, because he needs his land to use it. He had told us to take the church away from his land in this month of August. And he said that if we are not taking off the church, we have to pay him 100,000 shillings of Uganda every month, this month of August up to December. Each month, that's August, September, each month we have to pay that 100,000. Now in American money, it's between $80 and between $180. Why I'm saying that? Because the dollar keeps changes in Africa. Sometimes it goes higher, sometimes it drops down. But it's between $80 and $100 a month. Now, because we don't have any place to take the church, that means we have to pay those months. As we are believing God to see that we can have money and we remove the church, because he wants the church by December. She has been telling me that, but not with writing. But today he wrote the letter. Now, we need your prayers. We need your support so that we can see that we do what we are supposed to do. When that came, I was disorganized, but I told God that it's your work. Now you have to find out the way how we are raising that money, because that 100,000 in Uganda is not so easy to raise it. It's not so easy. Because you find that somebody can work for a month and is given $50. And now he's singly, he's paid well. Now to raise that money is not so easy in Uganda. And as we are raised, the same time we have to raise that money for month, the same time we have to raise the money to buy the land, is not so easy. Therefore, we need your prayers. We need your assistance. As we have been supporting me, I know that you're not going to drop me. You're going to keep it. Now, that's the situation which you're passing in. Amen? God bless you. But I appreciate. Now, today I want, dear Father in heaven, let the Spirit of God come and reveal your word unto us and touch our lives and transform us, my God. Father, Spirit of God, move and touch each and everybody in Jesus' name. Amen. And the topic that...
Is that $80 to $100, let's just call it $100, is that every month from now on? Is that what you need?
Yeah, every month. Yeah, every month.
Right.
Until December.
But,
no, every month.
What about after December?
That's what she told us, but I think if we are not able to get the land, we can talk with her so that we're on paying. Because I think that also he needs money.
So in other words, it's $100 a month from now on. Until you raise money to buy all the land.
Cool. And yeah.
$8,000.
More question?
Well, the reason that I'm asking is because what I want is what I would think that God wants, because I'm sitting there trying to just be quiet, and that is this. Like what we teach and what we see in the Bible is that you tithe and the tithe is 10% of whatever it is that God has given you or prospered you. We've gone through all that. And then above that, a tithe is to support your local church, okay? And all giving we always do through the church. That way God gets the glory. We don't go give money to people individually. That's what we have always been taught. That's what God has always shown us in the Scripture. And I see it as that way God gets the glory. Amen. So that we put it. When somebody comes up, when I would go around the country and I was preaching, and people would come up to me and would hand me money, it was like, sometimes I felt always so awkward when people handed me money. You know, I didn't know what was I say, thank you, but it's like, it's not them. Because they're as selfish as everybody else. It's God in them, and they just chose to agree. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everything is about the Spirit. What Spirit are things done in? See, people say words, but it doesn't matter what your words are. What about the Spirit? What about the choices that follow the words? People tell me, I love you. You know, a guy says to his wife, I love you, and then he beats her. How is that love? Did you see what I'm saying? Okay? So in this regards, they have a need. And what I'm saying to you is we could sit here, hear the need, we all go like this, and that doesn't take care of anything. What I'm saying to you is I want you to ask God. Tithing is where giving starts. Old Testament, they basically just taught about tithing. There was gifts, but gifts are above tithing. Tithing, it's like you're trusting God. Anybody could say, I love you, but when you're trusting Him and you're saying, I want to worship you, and I'm trusting you not just with words, but I'm trusting you with tangible. And that's what God is saying. Prove me, okay? But you prove yourself. But then above that, they have a need. I don't want us to just hear this. I want us to pray and ask God, each one of you individually. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which we just went through, but I dare you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. And it talks about giving. And in there, I believe it's in chapter 8, if I'm remembering correctly, it says, we said words a year ago, but he says you need to not only be doing that, but you need to be even doing more. You need to be going forward. And a lot of times, like when Brother Steve was here, thanks for moving that. when Brother Steve was here last year, we took up, people said that they wanted to help support whatever it's called. I'm going to call them the orphans, the school kids, whatever. And they're a real poor country. They don't have like taxes where they come and tax the people and then, you know, they just keep raising my taxes to pay for everybody else's kids to go to public school, which I don't believe in anyway. But, you know, that's how they do it here. Over there, they don't do that. The kids can't go to school if they don't have support. And so we talked about this a year ago, and a number of people said, yes, I want to help support them. But then what Sue just told me is that when it got to be this year, that there was really only one family that was consistently still doing that a year later. It's easy to say stuff, but that's why I tell people, you know, one day, I just want you to hear this. Please forgive me, but you're just going to have to wait. Okay? one day, God said to me, about 2 years ago, I was standing right over there, and He said to me, He said, do you know what I'm having you teach this people? And I said, what? Because when God asks questions, He's not looking for information. He's looking to draw our attention to an area. And I said, what, Lord, are you having me teach this people? And I'm talking about you. He said, you know what I'm having you teach them? And I said, what? He said, I'm having you teach them how to be Spirit-led. Led by the Holy Spirit of God. And instantly, just like that, He downloaded inside of me. He quickened. He made alive inside of me this thought. All of our lives, everything we come in contact with, we are led by our head or we are led by our heart. And He could get up here and show pictures of the kids, or you could see them on TV, or they could send them to you in the mail, and you see the kids and they're crying, and they're poor, and then you emotionally make a decision. We don't teach people to do that. I don't stand up here and yank on your heart and tell you nice little warm stories to make you feel good. I want to help you ask God, you personally, Wayne, you personally, Melissa, you personally, each person in here. Yeah, go ahead, hi, Sprout. Each one of you, ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Have you ever heard the saying, put your money where your mouth is? What do you think it means? Now listen to what I'm saying. You pray and you ask God, God, what do you want me to do? If God says, you're doing what I want you to do, and you have peace with that, because one day, I want you to have peace with what you choose, because you know what? One day, if you want to write these two verses down, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. Some of you in this room right this minute are having a hard time with me a little bit. Not because of what I'm saying right now, but some of you are having a little hard time with me because I am very much about discipline, doing things in order, and things being God's way. But see, we say words, but our heart, Jesus said, they do honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And we could say, I love God, but where's the proof of the love? Where is the character? See, all of you are a bunch of characters, you know, because you're following the main character, okay? But you know what? God is wanting to develop character in you. And he's wanting us, he preached last night about being disciples. And a disciple means you have to go through discipline. And in Hebrews chapter 13, 7 and 17, it basically says this. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and realize, and he's talking to the church, and he says, realize that Harvey Hampton is going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account for your life. And you're going to be standing before God. And you're going to give an account for all your choices, all your words. Well, God plays the video back, and you said the words. And God says, now let's play the video of your life. Where were they? Where were they true? Where did they come out? Here's what you said, but here's what you did. Are you with me?
Yes.
And folks, I want to be able to give a good account of you. I want to be able to say they were faithful. They gave. They were people of their word. They were people that were like you, Jesus. They laid their lives down for others. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not asking you to do anything except ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you... He just tried to tell you as best he could in his broken English to tell you everything he could. See, when I go over there, they're all going to think I talk funny. Okay? But when he's here, he's doing his best to explain to you. And we love him. But he's doing his best to explain to you, we have needs. This isn't like where he lives. It's not like America. You can't go and make pleas for money. There's none there. They're like poor beyond what we can imagine. Beyond. When Sue and I went to start a church in Texas, right by Mexico, and our friends came down to us, and they said, let's go into Mexico and look at it. We took them to the tourist places. Oh, isn't this nice? They have all these little shops, and you could buy stuff and barter with them and get good deals on cowboy boots and sombreros and all these other things, little chess sets. And then I'm remembering Janiah, because we would say, now let us show you the real Mexico. And we would take them one or two blocks over and show them. I want you to hear this, mothers. Kids living in cardboard boxes. People cooking out of Maxwell House coffee cans. Their little babies weren't drinking milk. Their little babies were drinking polluted water. Dirty, like you can't, I'm telling you. And that's where he lives. That's where he grew up. That's where he was born. He's wanting to reach these people. He dresses up like this so that you can accept them and whatever and understand and receive. This is about life. This is about people. This isn't, I've told you, this is not about entertainment. And most of you that are with us all the time, y'all know we're hearts and y'all are like the biggest givers. I tell people all the time, y'all are neat, neat, neat people. And I'm thankful for everybody that's here, that God has put here. I'm over there worshiping, and I saw little Shayla. Here's this little girl. Just pressing into God. God was just beaming. He's about to bust a gun. Here's this little girl. I love you. But I want us to pray. I don't want us to just hear what he's saying. You see, we come here, he teaches like last night. That was incredible. I don't know what you got out of it, but that was incredible. And it would radically change your life if you take that and you do something with it. I don't want to be a taker. Before I met Jesus, that's exactly what I was. I want to be a giver. And I want to go beyond. I'm asking God to let me live in such a way where I don't tithe 10%. I live on 10% and give the other 90% away. That's where I want to live. When I was raising our kids, and we were not making it financially, and we went to our pastor and he said, "Are you?" And he said, "No, y'all are tithing. Y'all are like do so much." And I said, "Well." I said, "We can't make it on 10%, so we're going to trust God and start giving 15%. And he said, you can't do that. And I said, "Well, do you think I could outgive God?" I said, "Do you think maybe God could take care of us? If we can't make it on 10%, maybe it's because we're not giving enough." My preacher didn't understand that. We were in a pretty well-to-do church. And he said, proportionately, we gave more than anybody in that place. I don't care. I felt ashamed of that. If I gave more, and all I was giving is 15 or 20%, I felt ashamed. What a sad reproach on laying your life down. Where's laying your life down? We are in America, and I don't want to be like America.
That's right.
I don't want to be like America. I want to be like Jesus. I want to lay my life down. I want to give Him, and I think that's where your hearts are. And what I'm saying is, this is an area where you stop, forget yourself, and pray and ask God, "God, what do you want me to do? Is there a way that I can help them? They need $100 a month. Is there a way?" I'm not asking you. I don't take pledges. We don't pass a plate to make you feel. We don't do the little show. Everybody coming up, it's all going to put our little money in. We're going to do our show. I take you to churches, and that's what they do. It's all about pride. And I am not into that. I'm not about show. I want Jesus. And I want Jesus more. And you experience Jesus when you come here, but I'm telling you, if we want more of Him, we've got to lay our lives down, quit doing it our way, and just follow Him. Are you with me? Are you understanding? So let's pray and ask God, "God, what do you want me to do?" You see, I look at my money and I go, "Well, God, I can't, I'm already tight, I'm already doing all this." Why don't we just ask God? If God tells us something to do, then that's what He wants to do. Maybe He's wanting us, check this out. Maybe He wants us to live by faith. Maybe He wants us to step out of what we can't see. I'm not telling you to be stupid. I'm not telling you to make some rash, commitment. I'm asking you, ask
God, what does he want you to do? And pray for them, whatever you do. Pray for them. Get his picture. Brandon's going around here clicking them like he's a celebrity or something. Get one of those pictures. My wife can print them off. Put them on your refrigerator. You look at that enough. Okay? Put it on your mirror. Unfortunately, we look at that too much. And let's pray for them. But God, what do you want me to do? How can I help them? Do you want me to? Let's pray. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Individually? I love you. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay? I just want us to live it, not talk it. How many of you like hypocrites? Then let's go be one. Let's live it. Not just talking.
Thank you. I feel much better now.
You go right ahead. I'm going to go away from the kids.
Sorry. I think we go into God's word right now. The topic which I feel God has put on my heart to share with you, it says, keys to victory. Keys to victory. We are in a journey. We are crossing from a certain side to another side. But in between, there's challenges. Now, those challenges, we have to overcome them, not to run away from them, not to hide ourselves. We have to overcome them. The children of Israel, they were coming from Egypt to the promised land. But in between, they had to face difficult situation, passing into wilderness, no food, no water, because of that journey. Now also we have a journey. We are on journey. We are crossing over where we have to go. We are crossing over to go back where we came from, because we don't belong here. We came from somewhere. Now we are on our journey to where we came from. But in between, we have challenges. We have mountains, we have valleys, we have discouragements. Other people, they are hurting us. But how are we going to overcome that? And God knows that we are supposed to overcome. Because the Bible said that we are born to overcome. Now, how are we going to overcome? Now, today, I want to share with you some keys which can assist you to overcome. When the world... we don't know what's going on. Here people, they are asking themselves, what's going on? What can we do? Even the leaders, even the presidents, they don't know what's going on. They are scratching their heads, but they cannot figure out how they are going to make it. Now, if you are into that situation, companies are closing up. People, they are jobless. They cannot pay even their bills. How are we going to pass into that situation? How are we going to make it to the other side? And God knows that we have to pass into that to go to the other side. How are we going to do that? Because we have to pass into that. We have to cross the other side. How are we going to do that? Are we going to complain against God? Are we going to ask God some questions? Are we going to murmur against God? No. We should not murmur against God. We shouldn't ask God questions. But how are we passing through that situation? People, they are losing their jobs. People, they are losing their mortgages. People, they are crying. They don't know what's next. They don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. But how are we going to pass into that? Now, today I want to give you just keys, which I feel that once you follow them, they are going to assist you to come out of that situation or to overcome. You are born to overcome. Each situation which comes on your way, each challenge which comes on your way, God knows it. He trusts in you. He believes in you that you are going to overcome it. But although God trusts in you, the certain things which you have to put down, the certain keys which you have to put down in order to overcome. Is that clear? Now, we are reading the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel, chapter 1. We are going to read from verse 1 up to 3. Let somebody read for us. Ezekiel chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. God bless you. Thank you for reading. Here the Bible said that Ezekiel, he was among captivity. Somebody, when he's in captivity, that means he's in the foreign land. Now, when you are in the foreign land or when you are in captivity, you cannot do what you want. You cannot live the life which you need. You cannot eat the food which you want. You cannot sleep the way you want. When you are in captivity, you don't have choice. Now, Ezekiel, he was a man of God, chosen by God, but he was in captivity. He couldn't enjoy his life. He couldn't do what he wants. Now, it's the same way, the situation which we are living in, whereby the people, they cannot live the life which they want. They cannot leave the house, they cannot stay in the house which they want. Because once you lose your mortgage, that means you have to force yourself to live into a certain house somewhere. Although you don't want to live into that house, but because you don't have choice, you have to live there. You get me? You have to live there. You cannot eat the food which you want. You find yourself that losing even the job. Now, this is the situation whereby that was also Ezekiel, he was passing into it. He was passing in dry season. He was captured. He couldn't follow his laws, but he was following the laws of people who captured him. There's somewhere where you reach when you don't have choice, you have to do nothing, whether you want to sleep, but you cannot sleep, then you have to sit and watch. Because you don't have a choice. Now that's Ezekiel, the life which he was passing in. We have some people who are Christians, who are born again. Also, they're passing into that life. They don't know what's next. They're passing into that life. But what can we do in order to overcome that life? What can we do to achieve? Now, here the Bible says that Ezekiel was among the captivity. He was living a life which he wouldn't like to live in. He was in a foreign land. But the Bible says the heavens were opened. Now, the first key, you to overcome all the challenges, you to overcome every situation, you to read to cross over, the first key is to have a fellowship with your God. Although he was in captivity, he was in the foreign land, but the heavens were open for him. That's a sign of having relationship, having fellowship with God. Now, in all the situation, whether the situation is good, whether the situation is bad, you have to keep your fellowship stronger with God. Are you getting me? Are you with me? You need to keep your fellowship stronger with God. This man, the heaven was open. That means he had a fellowship with the heaven. Although he was in a foreign land, but he had a fellowship with heaven. Although he was passing the life which he wouldn't like to pass in, but the fellowship was stronger with heaven. Although he was mistreated, but the fellowship which he had, it was stronger with heaven. Now, we need to see that in every situation, if we are to overcome, we make sure that heaven is open unto us. We have some people, they are living in a difficult situation, but also the heaven is closed. No fellowship. Some people, they are so good in keeping fellowship through their fellow people. But they don't mind about the fellowship with God. Some people, they are so good in keeping fellowship with other things. But they're not mindful about the fellowship with God. Some people, they are so good in keeping their fellowship with their job. You come in time for your job. You do everything. But you don't mind about the fellowship with your God. Some people, they are so good in having fellowship with their television. There are some programs which they cannot miss. They rather miss the service than missing those programs. They have that good fellowship with the television. They keep it every day, every hour. But they don't have time for fellowship with God. They rather cover the Bible so they can watch their television than switching off the television so that they can open up the... Now, what do you have? What fellowship are you keeping? Do you keep a fellowship with the television? Then you won't have the fellowship with God. You are so interested in keeping a fellowship with your fellow people. Once those fellow people, they are pulling you out from the fellowship of God, then you don't need them. Because you rather lose everything than losing fellowship with God. You rather lose your money. You rather lose your friends. You rather lose anybody. But you maintain the fellowship with heaven. Now, the key number one, if you are to succeed, keep your fellowship stronger with God. Hear me well. Pastor Harvey, he cannot build up your personal fellowship. Even me, I cannot do that. What I have to do is to teach you the word of God. Now, after teaching the truth, go and build up your personal fellowship. We need to have fellowship with God. Personally, I have to have a fellowship with God. You have to create a fellowship, you personally. That fellowship starts from right from home. Don't think that, when I go in the church, that's when I'm going to have a fellowship with God. No, start it right from home.
That's right.
Start it right from your bedroom. Build it. When you are at the church, thank God because you have a fellowship, a strong fellowship with God. When you are on the street, make sure your fellowship is stronger with God. When you are at home, do that. Let it be daily. To see that you maintain the fellowship of God with you. We have some Christians who do not have fellowship with God. The heaven is not already closed up for them. They don't communicate. Now, if you want to overcome, fellowship with God is very important. We are so good in calling some of our friends on phone. You talk for hours. But in all the conversation does not glorify God. That means you are so good in calling. You call son, you talk, but you don't communicate with your God. Now, Ezekiel, what he did, he had to keep the heaven open. Now, that's the key number one. How can you keep your fellowship with God? First of all, through communication. Through communication. Married people, when the devil wants to hit them, he hits communication. Once husband and wife, they cannot communicate, that marriage is gone. Now, even the devil knows that when you don't communicate with God, then fellowship is gone. Now, do you communicate with your God? If you are not communicating with him, it's high time to communicate with him. Because if you don't communicate with him, you are going to lose the fellowship. Communicate with God through prayers. Don't enter your bed before you kneel down to communicate with your father. First of all, he's your father. Parents, you want to communicate with your kids, also. You talk with your kids, you chat with your kids. Also, God is waiting for you to chat with him. He's waiting for you to communicate with him. Now he knows that at night when you are going in your bed, he's waiting for you to communicate with him. He just sees you covering yourself. In the morning, you just wake up, you rush to your job. No communication. No appreciating him for protecting you. No, you don't even commit your day before God. You don't commit even your night before God. You don't commit even your children before God. Your communication is gone. Once the communication is gone, the fellowship is gone. Is that clear? When you want to lose your friend, lose communication. If you want to keep your friendship, communicate. The more you communicate, the more you enter into relationship. The more you communicate, the more you enter into relationship. When you don't communicate, no relationship. Now, how can you build up relationship? You need to communicate. Communicate with your God. Get 30 minutes before you go to work. Get 30 minutes before you go to the bed. Get 20, talk to him. Communicate to him. That's how you are going to build up your fellowship. That's how you are going to build up your communication. That's how you're not going to lose your fellowship with God. That's how the heaven will not be closed to you. When you want to lose your marriage, stop communication. When you want to lose any friendship, stop communication. When you want to keep it, communication. When you want the fellowship with God, communicate. If you want to have a good relationship with God, communicate with him. That's the first key. You rather lose everybody. You rather lose everyone than losing the fellowship of God. Lose everybody, lose everything, and you maintain the fellowship. And I know that once you maintain the fellowship with God, then you'll be able to maintain the fellowship with people. When you don't maintain the fellowship with God, everything's going. Now that's the first key. If you are to overcome, communicate. Communication. Talk to your God. He is your father. Through prayers. Now, the second key. The Bible says, the heaven was open. We are in Ezekiel chapter 1. The heaven was open. And I saw the visions of God. The second key, if you want to succeed, you need to have a vision. We have some people who don't have visions. Somebody who does not have vision is not focused. Somebody who does not have vision, it's very easy to be deceived. Because he's not focused. He don't know what he wants. He don't know what he wants to achieve. He don't know where he is going. Therefore, somebody can deceive them. Somebody who does not have a vision, he will never grow. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs that without a vision, people are perishing. Now, each Christian, when you want to succeed and overcome all the challenges, you need to have a vision so that you can be focused, so that you can know where you are going, so that you can know what you are supposed to do. It's very difficult to succeed when you are blind. We have Christians who are blind. They don't see. They don't know where they are going. That's why God has to bring us into the church. When God brings us into a church, He allows us to hold the vision of that church so that we can pursue that vision. Are you getting me? He brings you in the church. He brings you in Burning Bush Ministry or in any church where you come from, in order you to have a vision of that ministry, to have a vision so that you are focused to know where you are going, to know what you are supposed to do. Now, when you don't settle in any church, that means you are lacking vision. Then you are not focused. Then you can be deceived. We have people who are deceived already. They don't know what to do. They are going to perish not because they are supposed to perish, because they are lacking vision. Ezekiel, although he was in the foreign land, but he had a vision. He was not living the better life, but he has a vision of God. Although they were treating him badly, but he had a vision. Do you have any vision? Do you follow a certain vision? If you don't have a permanent church, then you don't have a vision. Because you cannot have visions. Today you are in this church, you pick up that little bit of that vision. The other day, in the other church, you pick up the other vision. Now, you are going to mix up yourself because you are going to also to be confused. You don't know what you are supposed to do. We don't know what you are supposed to follow. You don't know. They are going to call. You are going to confuse yourself. I meet people, and somebody can tell you that, Pastor, I don't know what's going on within my life. Now, if you don't know what's going on within your life, who is going to know what's going on within your life? I have to know what is going on within my life. If I don't know what's going on within my life, who knows? Are you getting me? That means you are confused. You don't have a vision. You are not focused. You can be deceived because you don't have focus. That's the main problem which we have in churches, even here in the United States. Some people, they decide to start home. Now, when you start home, that means you don't have any vision. Then you are going to perish. Some people, they say, no, I'm going to watch my television. The preacher comes and preach. Those preachers also, they have different visions. Each preacher has got his vision. Now, today, you are going to grab a vision of soul. In the evening, somebody also comes. You take his vision. And then at night, somebody, now, a month. 100 visions. Then you are becoming hello. If you need to succeed, have a vision. That's why God brings you under leadership into a ministry to have a vision. That's why I told you that in our church, we have classes. Once you join the church, what we have to do once to ensure that you are going to be part of the church, we need to share with you the vision of the ministry. So that you may have a vision in your life. So that you may be focused to know what you are supposed to do. We don't want somebody who is there without a vision. He does not know what he's going to do. He's going to confuse everybody. First of all, he is confused. Even he's going to confuse other people. Let me tell you, if you don't have a vision, even your family is confused. You are going to destroy it because they don't know what to do. But if you have a vision, even your family, they know what to do. They'll follow that vision. You tell them what you are supposed to do. Church, if you want to succeed, have a vision. Make sure that you be in a church where there is a vision. Follow that vision. Become part of that vision. When the devil brings waves, you will never fail to move because you have a vision. You know where you are going. You know what you are pursuing. That's what God told Habakkuk. That just write your vision clear. So that other people, when they read it, they will go with it. They will have something to follow. They have something to focus on. Now, when you don't have any church, you don't have any leadership, you know, then you are confused guy, you are confused woman, you can do nothing, you don't have anything to follow, you are there. You jump on every truck. You jump on this, you jump on, you go another, you know, that's the life which you're going to live in. Jumping here, getting here. Jumping there, getting here. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your years. After 1 year, you sit down and start thinking, asking yourself, what have I done for God? Nothing. But you're busy jumping, poop, 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 because you're not focused. You don't know the vision. You don't know where you're coming from. You don't know where you're going. Jesus told that Pharisees, that you people, you don't know where you're coming from. You don't know where you're going. Jesus told them that me, I know where I'm coming from, and I know where I'm going. Now we have some people, they don't know where they're coming from, they don't know where they're standing, they don't know where they're going. Confused guys. Because once you know where you're going, once you know where you're coming from, that means you know where you're standing. And you know where you're going. Now nobody can deceive you because you know where you're going. But it's either somebody to be deceived because he does not know where he's going. I don't like such a people. And I don't want to pastor such a people. Because they will never, never do become the real disciples. The vision is very important. The Bible said that in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that without the vision, people perish. Now, when you want to overcome, you need to have a vision. The vision is life. God told Habakkuk chapter 2. That the vision, it will speak by itself. Now, anything which does not have life cannot speak. Now, if the vision speaks, that means it has life. Now, the vision is life. When you have the vision, you have life. Life in your personal life. Life within your family. Life within your future. When you don't have a vision, you are dead. No life. Is that clear? Vision is life. Secondly, vision is eyes. That's your eyes. The vision. That's your eyes. That means when you don't have vision, you're blind. You are blind. You don't see. You're not focused. Even our Lord Jesus came when he's focused. He knew what he was supposed to do. One day he told his disciples, I have to preach the gospel because that's the reason why I'm here. He was focused on what God sent him to do. The Pharisees, they did everything to trap him to do this and this, but he was focused. He knew that I came to preach the gospel. I came to deliver, to redeem people. One day the Pharisees and other people, they caught a woman in adultery and they brought her to him. But they were not faithful because they just brought the woman without the man. Because you cannot be in adultery without a man. But they let the man go, and they brought the woman. Now they tested Jesus to see if he's going to break the law. If he wants to keep the law, this woman has to be stoned. But remember, his vision was to redeem a man. Then he had to focus on that. Until he told them that if you have never done it, please throw a stone for her. Well, everybody disappeared. Then he told the woman, never do it again. Because that was his purpose. That was his vision. What is your vision? What is your eyes? Why are you on earth? Why are you in that church? Why? You know, ask yourself those questions. Thirdly, the vision is the power of your life. I call it the power or the engine. If somebody gives you a new brand car and removes out the engine, are you going to use that car? It's new. But he gives it to you, then he takes out the engine. So now, that's your car, but I'm going to get with the engine. Then you have a car, but it's useless. Now, you can be there without the vision. You don't have an engine. That means you can do nothing. If you want to overcome, get a vision. When you have vision, you'll make it. The third key. The Bible says, verse 3, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3. Can we read verse 3 again? Excuse me. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3. You hear? You can see that. The word of the Lord. After heaven being opened to him, he has vision. He had the word of the Lord. If we are to succeed, the second key of our succeeding is to have the word of the Lord. Let the word of the Lord be part of our life. Let the word of the Lord discipline us. Let's do things not according to what we think, according to what the Bible says. Other people, they are so good in doing what they think. They are so good in doing what they feel. I want to be comfortable. Sometimes the word of God does not want you to be comfortable in that comfortable zone, that of your comfortable zone. Now, in everything you have to obey the word of God, live according to the word of God, do things according to the word of God, believe in the word of God, get time and read the word of God. Some people, they take years, they take a week without reading the Bible. They wait for Sunday service. They come and they sit in the church and somebody reads for them and they go back home and they forget that and they wait the coming Sunday. That means you are not reading the Bible. How are you going to live it when you don't read it? How are you going to do things within in the Bible when you don't read them? How are you going to believe in what you don't know? The Bible says that if you continue in my word, you shall be my disciple indeed. If you continue in my word, continuing in my word, that means on a daily basis, read the Bible. Teach your children even to read the Bible. Sit with them and let them see you reading the Bible.
Right.
You cannot tell them, read the Bible when you're not reading it. Let them see you reading the Bible. But all the time they see you watching funny movies, reading the other funny papers and everything. And that's what you are reading. And now you are telling them, please, you have to read the Bible when you are reading some other novels. Also, they will be interested of reading those novels which you are reading. They will be interested also to watch what you are watching. But when you read the Bible, so they will know that, now I have to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. And not reading only the Bible. We need to live it. We need to do things according to it. We need to allow the Bible to change us. Let the Bible be part of our life. If the Bible said that forgive, you have to forgive. Don't just read. The Bible says forgive and you don't forgive. That means you're not reading it. Don't say that the Bible said that you have to love one another and you don't do that. Then you are not living it. We need to live it. People in the United States, very few people are living this Bible. Some they can teach it in order to get what they want. But they're not living it. Some of them, they're so proud because, Pastor, I remember one day we were here with Apostle Harvey last year. There's a certain pastor told me that, this is United States. All of us, we are Christians. Okay. Thank God for being Christian. But if you don't live according to the Bible, then you're not a Christian. If you cannot do things according to the Bible, then you are Christian. There's a question mark on it. The United States is a Christian nation. I know that. You just talk about it, but you don't believe it. You just talk about it, but you don't do what God tells you to do. Now, you need, if you want to succeed, you need to do what the Bible tells you to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We are reading from verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 4. Let's read.